Okay, here we go. This is the Principal's Office podcast, and I feel like Aldrin, but then the first question is introduce yourself. So
say that, and then I can just say like hi. It's nice to see you.
Mrs. Waldron, this is introduce yourself, background and time in our district.
All right. I'm Mrs. Waldron. I am a first year English teacher, first year in the district, first year ever with my own classroom. It's pretty exciting.
A born teacher though, right?
Oh yeah.
A born teacher.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Deep in the family roots.
Yeah, that should be in the background. We should cover that on the background.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. So in your vast experience of being a teacher now, what do you wish you had known about education when you started out?
I think really I didn't realize how much education had to do with like classroom management. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was more about getting content across to kids, but I think a higher percentage of my time is spent like making sure that kids are on task, that they're in a place in the classroom that is conducive to learning, and that they are focused on what they're doing.
Oh, interesting. Back in the day when I started, in the 1920s, they were saying, they would say like, you can't see them, they can't let you see you smile for the first month.
Yeah.
And then I learned like there's like it's really about developing relationships. Mm-hmm. So I think that like classroom management, that's a thing, but I've seen how you interact with kids and the relationships, it's the long play.
Mm-hmm.
So it's establishing once they love you and they'll walk through a wall for you, then like, yeah, sure, they're going to be squirrely middle school kids, but essentially in the long run, they'll do what you ask them to do.
And they're good-hearted. I always know they're good-hearted. They mean well.
Middle school kids,
yeah. They're just 11. They have a lot to learn still. It's okay.
Perfect. And you know what? You can dig into your student teaching experience on this mm-hmm. one, or you can, tell me a lesson that failed spectacularly.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, subbing, as always happens with subbing, there were definitely a few days when I came in and nothing worked. Like, the links were broken. I didn't have access to anything. And it was just kind of like, all right. I'm going to send, emails to the people who can make this work for us, but if they don't get back to us, then I guess it's like a free day. Do your homework, read a book, play a game. I don't know what to tell you. Those days were always kind of interesting.
You know what, though? That's trial by fire. I know. Mm-hmm. Like, I subbed when I very first started, and then when I I lived in Australia for a year, and I found kids that, like, if they had nothing, and it was like the norm in Australia, there was never anything. It was like, okay, there's a class, do something with them.
Wow.
You learn how to figure things out, because there are going to be days as a teacher that none of your stuff worked.
Yep,
or let's say this beautiful lesson plan you put together sucked, and it was terrible, and then mm-hmm. you have to come up with something else.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Valuable experience,
yeah.
Okay. What is one thing the students would be surprised to find out about you?
Struggle with questions like these. I don't know. What do my students even think about me? I have no idea. Maybe I scuba dive. I feel like most people don't peg me as a scuba diver.
See, I love this is like my favorite question on this whole thing, because I always go, scuba dive? That's awesome. All right, now it clicks into my brain. You know what? Kids would be surprised that you would, I don't know what the image of a scuba diver is, but.
I don't either. In my mind now, it's like slightly overweight, like 60-year-old men. That seems to be the primary population of scuba divers.
Well, you are not an overweight 60-year-old man.
I am not. I'm usually in the minority on that one when we go on like dive trips or anything.
Cool. So how did you become a scuba diver?
Well, I've always loved the ocean. Like if I hadn't gone into, English and teaching, I definitely would have gone into oceanography. That definitely would have been my next pick as a major. I adore the ocean. It's kind of the only sport I've ever really been interested in. And my brother got certified. He's 3 years older than me. I love him to pieces. He's my favorite person. He got certified a few years ago, and I think it was in the beginning of COVID. He got his girlfriend, me, and my husband to get certified together. And so the four of us go scuba diving together. He kind of gave us the push we needed to get out there.
I'm so jealous. Like I went to, when I was in Australia, I went scuba diving mm-hmm. and I went, oh my gosh, I got to get back and get certified. This would be so awesome. And life happens.
It's really fun. We have a really cool ecosystem here. I'd highly recommend it. We have the Pacific Northwest, and specifically places around the Sound are some of the most highly coveted dive spots in the world. I'm not even kidding. I'm not exaggerating.
I've heard this. The octopus under the Narrows Bridge.
There's one. Mm-hmm. Yep. Seeing giant Pacific octopuses are like, they're so cool. anyway, I could go on for hours.
No, this is what's great. That's what I was saying. This is a podcast. It's just conversation. You know, we just make it up. As long as we don't go to 16 minutes, then like the music will start and it's like pushing you off stage. So, all right, what inspires you to come to work every day?
I don't know. Many things. Right now, it might just be like stress. But I think overall, it's probably getting to see all the kids. I love the variety that every student brings to class. I think that's something I've missed in other jobs that I've had. Like, they're too regular and they're too expected. But when you come into a classroom with 30 students in it, like, who knows? You know, like, someone might be feeling really, you know, energetic that day. And they might do something kind of wild. And sometimes that can be really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know... every time there's a first year teacher, I just like those are experiences that you can't experience again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that once you start to click, you can see the kids that right now you're going, oh my gosh, I don't know how that kid is going to get anywhere. And then they unlock something, and that like that magic moment of that you taught them this, and nothing can ever take that away. I just think that that's something that's just so magical that like. I don't get to experience that for the first time again. So
yeah. I'm excited about stuff like that, I have to say. It's something that subbing didn't quite hit.
When you see, that's why I could only sub for a little while because mm-hmm. it felt soulless. It was like you could develop a little bit of relationships, but mm-hmm. you never really had those deep, you could see the difference.
Yeah,
so.
I agree.
All right. When's the last time you learned something brand new?
This morning I learned how Edpuzzle works. I had never used or anything like that. I've never used it before. And so I frantically ran into Mrs. Mendoza's room and I was like, I think I got this figured out, but I don't think kids can access it. What do I do? And she was so nice. And she very calmly said, just hit this button and hit this button and do that. And then it'll work. And I was like, oh, okay. And it did. She was right.
Oh my goodness. This is I'm reading this book that Miss Jones recommended to mm-hmm. me called What Happened to You. And it's really about, it's like brain research and how like traumatic events can really impact how you can do that. Anyway, mm-hmm. it's a lot to do about how many neurons are connecting when you're a baby. And I think this is not okay to say. And actually, if it's a HR thing, you got proof here. It's going to post up. It's like you're a baby teacher. So the amount of things that it's perfect. You just learn stuff mm-hmm. constantly.
Oh, constantly. Yeah. I feel like there's so many little tiny things that I never knew about teaching or about like interacting with students. Or I mean, I don't know, just like anything from like using a badge that scans me into the building, all sorts of random stuff like that. Like every day there's like something that's just like, wait, what? Like, I had no idea.
And you can never prepare somebody for those things. Mm-hmm. I remember my first year of teaching, they had a risograph. Probably no idea what a risograph is. It's like this big wheel thing. It was for sending lots of papers, and you go thunk, thunk, thunk. Anyway, anybody that has been around for a while knows what a risograph is, right? And it was they're for mass amounts of copies, right? It was a copy machine for mass amounts. And my first year teaching, the principal came by, and I that's the only thing I didn't know what a risograph was. I was like, it was the only copy machine that I knew of. It was in the main office. And
where else would you run into one of them?
Yeah, exactly. Apparently there was copy machines on the other side of campus, but I didn't know they existed. And the principal put up a sign on above the risograph that said, no more or no less than 40 copies. Like, don't use this machine for less than 40 copies. And I'm like, well, what if I just need a class? Like, I just need 20 copies. How do I just print them out? Like, I remember, so again, those baby teacher things, like.
Yep.
Yeah, the things you don't, they don't prepare you for that.
No, how can you? There's too many things.
Okay, so what is your best tip for making SLMS the best school in the history of ever?
You know, I really think, and maybe this is true for all middle schools, I don't know, but I think really just making sure that kids try to, and teachers too, really, everyone just assumes best intentions all the time. I think that it's really easy to fall into patterns of like, you know, oh, I knew this kid in elementary school, or like, oh, I had this, you know, as a teacher, like maybe someone says, I had this student's like, you know, older sibling at some point, and like, I know how they're going to be, and like, I know that this isn't going to be good. And I feel like sometimes, you know, I mean, sometimes you need to form opinions fast, it happens, but generally, I think it would help us all if we could step back a little bit and just say, okay, you know what, we're going to give this kid a fresh start, or we're going to give this teacher a fresh start, or we're going to do something new here, and we're just going to go forward without, you know.
What a Why do I stand? Where do I stand?
I agree with you. Like, I was just having this conversation a second ago, and I'm the youngest of three feral boys. And before I even stepped in the foot in the door, they go, ah, here comes another Bettis kid. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there is that, assuming best intentions. Mm-hmm. Great advice. All right. If you could turn back time and tell your middle school self something, what would it be?
Just stop stressing about everything. I was such a stressed out middle school student. Oh my gosh. Like, I was that kid who had to have absolutely everything on the syllabus prepared day one. I had to have every single piece of material ready to go, like in a special place, so I knew exactly where it was. If a teacher ever called on me for anything and I was unprepared, I would like have a mini panic attack in my head. I was so stressed. I thought everything was going to be like the death of me. And you know what?
It's all right.
It's fine. And so many kids did so much less than I did, and so many kids did so much more than I did. And you know what? Most of us are just fine today. Turns out, it's going to be okay, you know? It's going to be fine.
You know what? That's the closing thing, and I could fade it off.